daydreaming about dragons and thinking about the old gaming term murder hobo and fighting my way past the overall general shittiness of it and getting towards thinking about what creates that environment, what creates that choice. What are some things to think about when that kind of when those kind of characters come up? So here's what's on my mind. Murder Hobo, in my mind, is when the characters are looking to just kill everything and take their stuff. That's what they do. They look at everything as an opportunity. Can we kill it and take their stuff? You can see remnants of this of like artifacts almost left in the imaginative landscape in old modules, right? Where they're not even that old, not even like ancient old, old like when I was a kid old, not yeah, just you know, second edition. You know, not that old to me, but you can see th there are a lot of situations where they'll talk about the security measures that, you know, the magic shop has in place, or, you know, what kind of bodyguards the merchant has. And it sometimes it feels really overblown. I'll see if I can find one before I hit the publish button. I'll come in at the end. Have a little postscript. So my thought is that when we see these types of characters who are killing and taking and really not interacting with the environment in any other way, and this was happening long before video games were as ubiquitous as they are. You know, because people will say now, oh, it's a video game. They're playing Skyrim. This was long before Skyrim. Long before Skyrim, this thing was happening. So let's think about that a little bit and why. Is it a sign that the people at the table, not the characters, the people at the table are more willing to want things than to care about things? Are they feeling safe enough to want more for their character in some monetary way, but they're not feeling safe enough to care, or they're not being given the space, or they're not being given the, I don't know, the material to care about? Because I definitely see, I don't think I have, you know, murder takers at my table. I'm just gonna call them murder takers because I think the word hobo, can we not? Great. So I'm gonna call them murder takers. I don't see murder takers in my Thursday night group, but when they were done kicking Strahd in the teeth, they definitely liked looting his castle. So I think that's another thing we can do. If you're seeing a murder take vibe go on at the table, is to give that group a rich jerk to kick in the teeth. Like, why not just give them what they're asking for? I'm not saying make it easy. I didn't make Strahd easy. As a matter of fact, I came real close to killing everybody. It was dangerously close. But why not just go for it? You know? Rich people worth looting? Yeah, okay. I mean, that's a fictional thing that I think is not too difficult to create. But here's the other thing. Why aren't they caring? Why aren't they caring enough to create characters who are moral, who will care about something? And I think the answer to that question might be interesting. Because you might want to ask the player, you know, why doesn't the character care about this? Why don't you let them care about this? Because you might find that they do care about certain characters, but they don't want to show you. Because there is a whole school of GMing. There are whole folks out there who say, you know, when you see your players care about someone, kidnap that person. So you can make your big bad evil guy, your BBEG, more ferocious. You can prove they're bad by having them kidnap something the players care about. So the players might be hiding who they care about because they just don't want you to savage that fictional person in the name of making an evil guy more evil. So you might have to unpack that. Or it might just be that they don't feel safe, or they cared about something once and everybody at the table made fun of them. It's a conversation worth having, I think, if you're seeing that a character isn't caring. You know, the questions I would want to ask is, hey, what's redeeming about this character? If I was watching this TV show, why would I care? And see what the answers are. There might be a soft underbelly to these murder takers. And of course, if you're just not digging it, if you don't like it, then of course that's a whole conversation you have to have. Of course it is. Of course it is. We're at a table with our friends, making things up, visiting fictional places. Of course, we're going to talk about it. Hey, why didn't your character care about that urchin? Oh, he did care about them, but they didn't want to show it. Right? Maybe. It's worth thinking about. Worth thinking about with that old chestnut, the old murder takers. This might be the strangest request by Inspiration Goat. So we're looking at Dune again, the new movie, but we're not looking at anything really about Dune. As much as I love Dune and I could talk about it for ages, and no, what happened is a few weeks ago, last month, we had our dads over for Dad Sunday. And we usually watch a movie or a TV show or something together and enjoy it and have lunch together. And it's like a, you know, it's like it's a family thing. And last week we watched Dune. Both of our dads are science fiction heads. Our dads are actually the people who got us into science fiction. So it's cool to be able to share the science fiction that we love with them. And so we watched Dune. Both dads were fan of the David Lynch version. And because of things going on in the house, we put on closed caption. And it was really interesting watching a movie with closed caption on. And I think there's something to learn about gaming there, particularly when music intensifies, right? And I've started actually using this in our live streams on Actual Play a little bit. And it's kind of a joke, and it kind of isn't. It's one of those things where I feel like we laugh a lot whenever it pops up, but I also kind of like it. And I think there's something interesting to be learned there about when to actually make something and when to just describe that something is happening. I think that's an interesting line in gaming. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the way closed caption describes music. Right? The music is intensifying, but the closed caption is assuming that the people who are reading this might not experience the music in the same way that other people do. So they describe the music. Ominous music intensifies. Exciting music intensifies. Romantic music starts. I like intensifies because it lets you backfill that there was music starting, right? And I just wrote down all the words, all of the different words that they use to describe music. Ominous, eerie, romantic, exciting. Eerie, ethereal, dreamlike, lamentation. The lamentation intensifies. mysterious, suspenseful, mournful. It's really good stuff, and it sets a tone. And even better, by just saying that, rather than actually putting on music, finding music, or heck, if you're this talented, writing music for your game. And if you're doing that, I think that's amazing. Any of those things. Awesome. Great. And if that works for you, great. But what I like about describing it, particularly describing it growing more intense, is that it leaves the person who hears this to backfill, and they create their own music. Even if they don't really create the music, right? Even if they don't really have a particular song or notes in their head, it creates that moment for them in a way. And I think that is just fascinating. And there is something about that for gaming. I'm not even sure I have it yet. I'm just reaching for it. I've got these over. So when you do streaming, something you can do is you can make overlays, right? And there are these graphic elements you can put over the screen, and they go over everyone's face and everything, right? So I made, closed caption music intensifies overlays for almost all of these words. Dreamlike, eerie, romantic, exciting. Exciting music intensifies. And it just goes over the middle of the screen in a font vaguely reminiscent of a closed caption. And it doesn't interrupt the person who's talking, the person who's, giving a monologue or giving a cool speech or snapping a cool retort. And it also somehow brings everyone else into it. That they're not asked to contribute, but I don't know, it just they're suddenly creating something in their own heads about the scene. And I don't know. I don't think I have it yet. I don't think I understand what exactly I want out of this yet. But I think there's something there that is really interesting where you don't have to, I've talked about this before, right? I'll give the example of play again. I talked about this ages ago. An NPC was going to cuss out and scream at a player character, right? And so rather than screaming at a friend of mine, which I don't want to do, quite frankly, I just don't have the energy. I love role playing. I love taking a little bit of acting into it. I absolutely do that. But there, I have a line, and that was my line. And I also just don't want to scream at my friends. I've had jobs where at times I was screamed at by people who were having maybe the worst days of their life and were maybe mentally ill. And I don't want to be screamed at when I game. I don't think my friends want to be screamed at, and I don't want to scream. Okay, got it. So rather than screaming at my friend, I described, hey, this person is not well, and they say terrible things about your character's lineage. Just heinous. And that way I don't have to actually do it, and I don't have to say something sexist or say something whatever, I can just say, hey, they say something and it's terrible. And there's a vibe, there's a part of the Venn diagram of that crosses over into this. And I just think it's really interesting. But there's a line, right? I mean, there's an old joke that John Harper said on Twitter, where it's where you're GMing and you say, hey, imagine something really cool here, right? And that's a joke, but that's kind of what I'm doing here. I'm saying, hey, imagine something cool here, but I don't know. I don't know if there is a line. I don't want to just do that. I don't want to like get my friends together and say, "Hey, folks, imagine a really cool adventure where our characters all become friends through adversity and found family, and we gain amazing treasure, and we change the world, and we lose something that we didn't want to lose, and sacrifice, but in the end it turns out okay, and our characters are changed, but the part of them that was growing, that you loved, grows and takes root. Cool, we just had a campaign. Like, no, that's not what I want. But it's funny, if you go too far, that's what you get. So it's interesting. I think this is just a really, there is something about those closed caption descriptions of music that made me say, oh, there's a gaming lesson here. There is a gaming lesson to be learned here about describing things rather than actually showing things. I'll keep an eye on it. I'm keeping an eye on it. You keep an eye on it too. Let me know how that's working at your game. I'm curious. When do you actually act? When do you do? And when do you just describe it? What is your line? Or do you just want full immersion where you just do everything? If the NPC is screaming, you're screaming. You know? I don't know. I'd love to hear your lines. I'd love to hear how you handle this. If you have any ideas about music, I don't necessarily want, hey, these are great sources of music, but maybe. But more just how do you handle music? What do you use to get music in there? What happens if a player doesn't like the music you choose? Music is so personal. And the way it affects us is so personal. And what it means to us is so personal. I don't know. I'd love to hear what's going on at your table regarding this, regarding describing things and music and actually doing them. And it doesn't have to be music, but that's just what's on the table today. Cool. Let's get to the outro. Thank you so much for listening to Daydreaming About Dragons. If you would like to support the show, there are a number of ways to do it. You can interact with me online. You can do it via Twitter. The link to Inspiration Goat, Inspiration Goat's Twitter is in the show notes. It's at Inspiration Goat. You can also email me, judd.karlman@gmail.com. I'm going to say that again in case you just scrambled for your pen. judd.karlman@gmail.com. Let me know what's going on at your table, or tweet at me, or retweet or quote tweet the show and say, hey, this reminded me of X, Y, and Z in my game. I really want this to be a conversation and not a talk from a pulpit. If you would like to monetarily support the show, there are ways to do that. There are links to click in the show notes. I'm sure you'll find them if that's really what you want to do, and I appreciate it. And if not, thank you for listening. Nice to be back. Took a bit of 2022 off. There was a lot going on. I'm back, and it is nice to chat with you again. I look forward to hearing from you. I'll see you soon. I hope your season changes that are happening right now are pleasant. I hope these times are pleasant as things shift and change. All right. Talk to you soon.